Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. The word of God for our sermon this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, beginning at verse 44. He, Jesus, said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. This is the word of our Lord. And in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, dear friends in Christ, the art of conversation is becoming kind of a lost art. People just don't know how to initiate or continue a conversation with one another, not when they're buried in their smartphones and staring at them, not when they come home from work and head down into the basement and binge on the latest TV series on Netflix, not when people like me are traveling and you're on a plane and you literally are rubbing shoulders with the person next to you and an inch from knocking your knees, and yet everybody's got headphones on, and they're not talking to one another, but maybe texting someone a thousand miles away. And so people just don't know how to initiate or start a conversation, not as much as they used to. And so a surprising part of my calling as a mission counselor, when I go meet with a group of people that want to start a new mission church or meet with a congregation that wants to become more outreach-minded and expand their ministry, one of the surprising parts is that in some cases, I have to teach people, including some pastors, how to have a conversation with someone. And truthfully, it's really not that difficult. All you have to do is ask someone about themselves. Ask them about their jobs, their background, their family, their places that they've lived, their hobbies, and you're off to the races. Eventually, the conversation turns spiritual. And that's really what we want to talk about this morning as we celebrate the retirement of Joyce Lent and everything she talked about for over 40 years. And that is that Jesus tells us repentance and forgiveness will be preached. And that includes by you and me. We hear Jesus speak these words in a section of the Gospel of Luke, and at least in some of the parts, we can't really tell where the beginning of these words took place and where it all ended. That's because in this section of Scripture, we're told that it was one of Jesus' appearances after Easter. And he suddenly appeared amongst all the disciples, and of course, he said, "Peace be with you." But they were startled, and they thought maybe he was a ghost, and so he said, "Well, no, touch my hands and my feet," to prove to them that this was the same Jesus that they knew just a few days ago. He even asked for something to eat, not probably because he was hungry, but because he wanted to show them that Jesus was and is always 100% true God and true man. And then somewhere in there, Jesus said these words. Now, we don't know if these words were spoken that evening, that first Easter Sunday evening, or a week later, or right before his ascension, or maybe all of the above, or in between. But what he did say is this. He said, not go and do this. He said, repentance and forgiveness will be preached starting in Jerusalem. Let's take a look at what was to be preached before we start talking about where. Repentance and forgiveness. And while those marching orders probably are very unsurprising to you and me and most of us here who are used to hearing that that is the message of the crucified and risen Jesus, that we are to repent and confess our sins and then trust fully that there is unconditional forgiveness won for us and given to us by Jesus our Savior. But think just for a moment what he was telling the disciples to do. To go in the streets of Jerusalem and sort of remind people, hey, this Jesus guy that we hung around that had no real formal training and wasn't part of the main religious society and hierarchy, that guy that you saw crucified, he's actually true God. He's risen, and you are to confess your sins to him and then find forgiveness and peace from your sins through him. As strange as that might have sounded to them 2,000 years later, it still sounds strange to at least some people. I remember teaching someone in one of those Bible information class, the starting point for many people who haven't had a whole lot of Bible instruction, that there is repentance and forgiveness found in the crucified and risen Jesus. And the person I was talking to just didn't want to hear about a crucified Jesus. Too bloody, she said, too violent. And really what this world needs, she said, is less hatred, less violence, more love. And that's a common sentiment around America today. But then I pointed out to her that Jesus going to the cross is about the most loving thing that anyone could ever do. I mean, maybe a father would dive into a lake or a river to save his children, but he wouldn't do that for his enemies. He wouldn't do it for the whole county. He wouldn't do it for the entire world's population. And yet that's exactly what Jesus did. He stepped in our place, and he took on the punishment of death. And he did it so that we would be spared, so that we would be redeemed, that we would be one with God forever. Repentance and forgiveness through the crucified and risen Jesus is about as loving of a thing as anyone can ever speak about. And it is something that is always going to be needed. There are a couple of examples recently where the loving Jesus is portrayed probably more accurately than in the past. The He Gets Us commercials point out that, you know, Jesus loves everyone and paid for the sins of everyone. Or the Chosen series on TV portrays Jesus as a loving, kind, compassionate, kind of regular down-to-earth man. Another interesting thing in the Chosen series is the depiction of the disciples. Now, I grant you, they've kind of made up some backstories to those disciples that may or maybe didn't really happen, but they do show the disciples as being very human. And by human, I mean very sinful. I mean, they got ego problems and pride. They argue with one another. They get angry and jealous of one another. They have to deal with illnesses that they kind of blame God for, and they wonder why there's tragedy in their lives and why God didn't intervene. They have issues. They have some strong spiritual issues that need to be addressed, and so do you and me. We're self-centered. We're full of pride. We say things and do things, and certainly think things that we have no business being in our minds or coming out of our lips. We also have times when we blame God and we wonder why God didn't intervene. We have the baggage of our sins and guilt, and we need the message of repentance and forgiveness in Jesus' name. Here, now, always. And that message was to begin in Jerusalem. And reading through the book of Acts, you know that Peter and the apostles did just that. Bravely and courageously, through the power of the Holy Spirit, went indeed in the streets of Jerusalem and proclaimed the risen Jesus, even though they were told not to, and preached repentance and forgiveness just as Jesus had said they would. And then that message spread, and it went to up north in Syria, in Antioch. And then the message spread to the island of Cyprus, and then Paul and some apostles went to places like Lystra and Derbe in Galatia, and then up to Ephesus, then around to Greece in places like Thessalonica in Corinth, and then on to Spain and to the New World and to many other countries. And maybe now the message of repentance and forgiveness has spread to every country. But it was to start in Jerusalem. So where does it start for you? Where can you start proclaiming the message that Jesus said would be proclaimed, the message of repentance and forgiveness? Well, maybe, just like Jesus' words, it starts close. It starts in the home. It starts with people that you know. Another part of my jobs, like Pastor Balgi said, is to give advice and counsel. And really, I'm just sharing what other people are doing. And people know that. And then they ask me, in fact, I was just asked this last Wednesday, a question I always get asked. Hey, what are the great ideas out there? What are churches doing, you know, that is really, really working? And, you know, my stock answer is, there is no one silver bullet that you can do that somebody else is doing, and that'll bring all sorts of new members to your church. I do kind of go into a little bit of how important it is to be less concerned with being attractional, having people come to your church for all sorts of events, and be a little bit more relational. In other words, instead of kind of burning a lot of people out with a lot of activities, maybe just spend some time getting to know your neighbors. In fact, I know a few mission churches where the pastors out and out say that. Hey, for the next couple of months, find that person in your community, in your neighborhood that you walk by, and you know they don't really go to church, not very often, and invite them over for a barbecue and get to know them and have a conversation with them and ask them about themselves and deepen that relationship, because eventually the conversation will turn spiritual, and then you'll be able to share the message of repentance and forgiveness in Jesus alone. And then maybe that person might just bring it to someone else. I still remember inviting someone rather intimidating to one of the Bible information classes I was teaching, and I did it kind of on a whim. This is not a person who ever went to church, but he'd drop his son off for confirmation classes. He and his wife thought, well, I got a Catholic background, she's got a Lutheran background, catechism, confirmation, that's important, we should send our son. But they themselves never attended church. And one time I just, you know, kind of leaned into the car window when he was picking up his son. I said, "We're starting a new class this Tuesday. Just thought I'd throw it out there in case you're interested." And to my shock, he said, "Yeah, it's about time I attend that class." And then he started bringing his wife. And then a few years later, his wife brought one of her hiking friends. And then a few years after that, the hiking friend lady brought her new boyfriend. And more, in widening circles, the message of repentance and forgiveness in Jesus spread. And isn't that the way it's supposed to go? And isn't that the way it oftentimes goes? It just spreads from person to person. And isn't that just a good place to start? No, another good place to start with the message of repentance and forgiveness in your school, teaching your children, and teaching other people in the community's children. And isn't that what we're doing today as we celebrate and give thanks to God for Joyce Lentz, over 40 years of faithfully, selflessly, as a servant, teaching the children of this church in this community. And now I'm not just talking about doing an excellent job, which she did, of teaching math and science and reading and writing, but I'm talking about weaving into those subjects repentance and forgiveness in Jesus, and doing it in devotions, in songs, at recess, over lunchtime, before and after school. That message of forgiveness in Jesus, I mean, a lot of people have a lot of things to say about their jobs. What Joyce did for over 40 years was the most important thing to talk about. So, begin at home. Begin at in your neighborhood. Begin at school. Begin at church. Begin in your neighborhood and widen those circles, just as what has always happened with the gospel. Just remember this when you go and do that, that God is going with you and blessing you. Here he says, "I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And that was, of course, a reference to Pentecost and the special outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But believe that you have that same power because the Holy Spirit has been poured out on you at your baptisms. And the Holy Spirit is poured out on you when you receive the Lord's Supper, the loving promise and gift of forgiveness in Jesus, in the Lord's Supper. And every time you hear and read your Bibles, you are receiving the blessing and the power of the Holy Spirit to go with you as you have those conversations that eventually turn to the most important thing that you can talk about. So Jesus said these words, and then we're told, and it's, yes, definitely a reference to the ascension where he raised his hands and blessed the disciples. It truly was the end of one era, Jesus' ministry on earth, and the beginning of a new era, which was the advance of the kingdom in ever-widening circles. And Joyce has the end of an era here today and the beginning of a new one where God will go with her and continue to bless her as well. And when we leave this church service today, it's not the end of God's power and blessing and the Holy Spirit being poured on us. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of our conversations, the beginning of our encouragement, the beginning of our invitations. Because the message of repentance and forgiveness in Jesus did begin in Jerusalem, but it was just a start. It continues with you and me. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses